Fred Film Radio, Transylvania International Film Festival, Romania.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Transylvania International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Eileen Hofer, who is the director of Horizons, Horizontes. I said the Spanish title as well. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So the first question is kind of the obligatory question. If you could tell our listeners a little bit about the movie, maybe introduce it for them.
Right. It's a documentary that I shot in Cuba. Yeah. The reason why I decided to film in Cuba is because they have this very well-known classic academy and classic company of ballet. Since 1960s, Alicia Alonso, which is really, let's say, a diva now in Cuba, she's 95 years old, used to be in the 1960s one of the best dancers in the world. And she had this deal with Fidel Castro when he took over the power to promote the Castrism around the world through her dancing, through her ballet. In exchange, she received the right amount to be able to build, to create these several schools and her company. So now, like more than 60 years after, Cuba became in the world of classic dancer, one of the very important country in the world.
Yeah. But okay, so structurally speaking, you follow the lives of three dancers. So you've got three generations of dancers there too.
When I first arrived in Cuba, I had only one wish, which was meeting Alicia Alonso. But as I said, she's 95 years old, and there was already some documentaries and biopic done about her. And I didn't want to enter into a movie done only with
structured
image from the past.
Oh yeah, archived.
Okay. So I decided that I wanted to talk about three generation that shows three different step and level of a girl learning how to dance. Mm-hmm. So the first level is this very young girl who's 12 years old, and she's supposed to be one of the best of her class.
Yes.
And she's willing to become a prima ballerina once in her life. So she's really struggling hard and studying like more than 12 hours per day in order to become the best. And she's about to pass her one of the best, most important exams. So I wanted to capture this moment in her life. She represents basically the future. She's looking in front. She is willing to become a big dancer. Mm. The second actress, which is not an actress, the second person I shot is the prima ballerina of the ballet. She's the current one of, because there are four, so she's one of the four top dancers in Cuba. She's very well known, and she represents the present. And also, speaking about dancing, she developed her body and she has the perfect knowledge and structure, and she knows perfectly where her balance is. So I wanted to have her as representing the present. And the third person is this Alicia Alonso, which used to be in the 1960s until even 1980s one of the biggest dancers, but obviously she's 95 years old, so she's not dancing anymore. Her body is absent. Mm-hmm. So she's dancing with her finger, but she became blind in the meantime. So she represents the past, and I represent her life through the archives. And her presence is still present in the movie through words and her encouraging her students and the other dancers.
This film, really, if anyone thinks that, you know that expression that, you know, if anything is easy, it's like, to show that it's not, it's not ballet. Wow, this movie completely, proves that theory wrong. So were you interested in also showing that side of ballet? It's hard work.
Yeah, obviously, that's also the title of the movie, Horizons. Where do you look? Where is your limits? And my starting point by doing this movie was because I heard the story of Alicia Alonso, who was struggling and working really hard as a teenage, and then she finally had the chance to move when she turned 19 years old to New York, and she became the prima ballerina at the American Ballet in New York. And then she had this accident, which was not really an accident, but she had a problem with her eyes and her sight. And the doctor told her, you cannot dance anymore and jump like the way you do. Mm. You have to stay in bed for a year. And otherwise, if you keep dancing, you will become blind. And she stayed for a year in bed, and then she stood up and said, you know what? I'm going to dance in the darkness. I accept my faith, my future,
destiny, yeah.
My destiny, and I will work on that with my destiny. I will have this handicap, so I will learn how to dance being blind. So she started, that's the message, that's the strong message. Instead of saying, okay, goodbye, thanks, I tried, and I'm not good enough, it's where do you stop? You, as a human being, not a dancer, but me in my life, in my daily life, do I want to make this movie? Do I get enough money for that? No, I don't get enough money for that. Do I stop? No, I don't stop. Why? Because I want to achieve my goal, and my goal is, it doesn't matter the obstacle I will have, I have this goal and I want to have it. And as I said, that was my starting point in doing this movie, because it's a universal message. And this woman, Alicia Alonso, she struggled. She learned how to dance with, she put some stuff on her eyes in order not to see, and she learned, and she was dancing like the biggest part ever in her life in the world for two hours on stage, jumping and doing this, but being blind. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's also the what the two other girls are willing to show and to do. They are struggling. They went, the middle-aged girl who's 35, she went through the huge crisis in Cuba, which is called the El Periodo Especial, which is exactly after the ex-USSR broke. Cuba had no more brother, so they didn't get enough food, and they were starving in Cuba. And she was saying, at that time she was 12 years old, the age of my little girl, and she was saying, I had to drink a glass of water and a piece of sugar and go back on stage and dance again.
Right.
So you see, people are stopping their life because they are broke a nail. And some other one are saying, you know what, I'm strong.
Yeah, so you got to make sacrifices to make your dream come true. Yeah, it's definitely inspiring. But speaking about Cuba, how did you end up there, and what was it like filming there? Did you have any difficulties, and especially the archive material? Was it difficult to get?
Actually, what was difficult was to convince the ballet that we were willing to make a good movie, and that we were not willing to talk about politics, which was definitely not my aim.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the dance and the society too. So once we had the paper signed by the ballet, we got all the authorization signed by the government. But at the beginning, it was difficult because we wanted to film some sequences, and obviously we didn't have the rights, so we were taking care. But then it was suddenly very easy, and we got a lot of support. But it's true that I have to admit it, that we were moving from one place to the other one, and some people were following us, like we had some spies. At one point I realized that we were in a coffee outside, and one spy was sitting next to us with his mobile phone, but he was grabbing our conversation, recording our conversation.
I can't believe.
Yeah, wow. And then I took a picture of him when he suddenly looked at me, and when he saw that, he stood up and ran. So that's the little spy story
that
we had.
That's amazing. And so obviously we're running out of time fast, but there's so much to talk about. But one thing that I don't want to avoid talking about is, because this film has rhythm, has wonderful cinematography, but to me it really is kind of feels like a very inspiring tale, but also a work of love. And I just wanted to ask you, are you a fan of ballet? Where about the ballet side? Like, what's your connection with it? Why did you decide to tell the story of ballet?
I definitely have absolutely no connection with ballet.
Right.
But it's true, it's a film about love. Why? Because I made like two features and several short films. I mostly finance them myself, so I always fight to get the fans and so on. I'm always surrounded by the smallest crew you can ever imagine, but we're friends, we stick together, and also I always kind of fell in love with the people I will film, because it's a documentary.
Yes.
And I'm on top of that talking about a story, creating a story with them. They're sharing their ideas and their stories and their past, and I'm adding some emotion in the way I'm directing them.
Yeah.
So once someone says, do you know what, I have 3 weeks time and I will offer you those 3 weeks time, I just need to respect the person I have in front and enter into the universe of this person.
Well, that's very interesting. Final question. You mentioned that, first of all, this film has been traveling a lot. I told you before the interview that I saw it in Wroclaw 2 years ago. So it means that people like it and want to see it. But you did mention that you've got something else traveling around. Would you like to maybe talk about it very briefly?
When I premiered Horizons, that was in Switzerland in a very well-known festival about documentaries, I received a special mention at the closing ceremony. And the day after, I went to visit my father, who is married with a woman from Azerbaijan. And I just wanted to disconnect and have 2 days off with them. And we ended up for one dinner with a couple of friends of them. One woman was from Chechnya. The other one, her husband, was from Ukraine. And my stepmother, she's from Azerbaijan. So the three of them, plus my father and myself, were having dinner. They suddenly opened those bottle of vodka and were celebrating. And you know, this Russian spirits came on the table, and they were like laughing and fighting and dancing. And for me, they were crazy. And I went by, at the end of the dinner, I just asked them, like, can we repeat exactly the same, but we add three more people? So we have three people from ex-USSR. Mm-hmm. So, and I came back two weeks later with two cameramans, one sound engineer, and we had this huge dinner. So we filmed in one day, in one shot. So it was like for 7 hours. They all had microphone and 6 liters of vodka, plus food, enough food cooked by those women, and really the traditional food. And I wanted them, because now today those people there don't really have anything in common except the past, the memories, but they speak different languages. Some are Muslim, others are Orthodox or Catholics, and some are even fighting. Ukraine and Russia, they're fighting together. Yeah. Chechnya, they were fighting too. So I wanted them during one dinner to talk about their childhood, the small history linked to the big history of the country until the perestroika, which is the end of USSR, and today, obviously. And that was the topic. So it's like 25 minutes of
What's
them.
It called?
It's called Russian Salad.
Russian Salad.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. You know, that sounds really interesting, how people can bond over vodka and food and just a good time.
Yeah, exactly. It was one day of shooting, and I had no idea what I would do with the movie because I don't speak Russian. So I had my half-sister sitting next to me who was barely translating me. And after that, she wrote everything down on paper. So I had like 70 pages full of conversation, and I finally understood what they were saying.
But that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, listen, thanks very much for talking to us. It was a great pleasure having you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.